Nice to be here again. We were here a few years ago. We worshipped for a number of years here. And my name is Peter. My wife's Jill there with that rather regal-looking scarf around her. She hasn't gone high Anglican or anything. She's just... And my daughter's here. Yeah, last time I saw her here, she was single. And but we do still see her now and then. What else is new? That's right, Max. He's new, but well, he's not so new. He's a bit old now, but he's been around the place for a while. It's almost 12 months coming up. Yeah, a couple of weeks, actually. Dan and myself, we sort of got those two together and married them, so that was nice. And now they're part of your paying congregation. I'm sorry, you're part of your church. Actually, I think Kate earns more money per hour than I do. Jill said I should go out mowing lawns. That reminded me of my lawn at home. It needs to be mown. And actually went back because I saw a piece of green grass right in front of me on the floor there near my seat. And I looked and someone tapped me in the back and it was Michael Bird. And I thought, Michael and I went to college together. And we used to serve every Monday mowing grass and lawns and doing odd jobs. Michael's my friend. My son Martin, he's a big guy now. He's a carpenter. He serves in a church with youth group. So and also leading a young adults group. And then Caroline, she'll be here tonight. She's doing her first year of a early childhood degree. She's had a couple of goes at other degrees. Finally, she's found something that she likes. And she works part-time in a out-of-hour school care centre. In fact, last year, a little boy said something to his mum. And the mum come in and she had a word to Caroline. And she said, is your name Caroline? She said, yes. Well, my little son said last night that when he grows up, he wants to marry you. So there's a bit of marriage floating around in anybody else here who'd like to get married. Dan and I do a pretty good deal. You get two for the price of one. Okay, well, we're looking at something today. I'm preaching tonight as well, from the same passage. Hopefully a little different, because every message is slightly different. Some different illustrations. If you come back, praise God. But I'd just like to thank you all. And every so often, Dan and I get together. Every couple of months, we go to his office over in the far hall. And we just talk and pray and share together. And see this little booklet? Can anybody see the writing on the front? Yep. There is two words. Yeah, two roads. A couple of years, Dan gave me two of these, and I just had a whole lot of ones called Two Ways to Live. So I put these in my drawer. And last year we were praying for my parents. So I was praying for my parents that they would come to know Jesus. And my dad's still not a Christian, but my mum, through this little leaflet, just shared that with her. And she came to know Jesus. And Dan and I were praying for that. And little did I know that those two little leaflets like this that he gave to me when I was meeting with him, say, a couple of years ago, that God would use to show Mum the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not here to talk about Mum, but here to talk about two men, two prayers with two outcomes. Let's look at the passage. Parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee. You see, the Pharisee here, he starts out praying, God, I thank you. How many people put their hands up who pray prayers like that? God, I thank you. Anybody thank God? We do. So he started off pretty good, right? But then he goes on and prays all about himself. God, I thank you. that I'm not like this other people. I don't steal money. I'm not unjust. I'm not adulterous. I'm not even like the tax collector. He started off well, but he started praying and sharing his own qualifications. And in effect, the Pharisee is saying, friends, I don't rip anybody off financially. Everything I do, I'm just in all my dealings. I'm faithful to my wife. I don't go around sleeping around the place. I'm staying true to her. Religiously, I do the best I can. I give the tenth of everything that I get. I even pray and fast twice a week, And here he is trusting in his righteousness that he believed God had made him to be. He's like he's saying, he's declaring himself righteous and thanking God for it. Sometimes there's a little bit of Pharisee in each of us, if we're honest. When I was a young man, walking the streets of my home city called Maryborough. Who knows Maryborough? Cool, great. That's where I was born. I was conceived in Toowoomba. And my mum's come down the hill. Well, no, we moved. Well, they moved, and I guess I moved too, down to Maryborough. And that's where I popped out. But I grew up in Maryborough, and I walked around the streets on a Saturday morning. There's not much to do there on a Saturday morning except walk around the streets. And you bump into different people, you look out which one could be the ideal girl for you. That's the sort of thing that young guys did. And then this guy come along, tatty sort of jeans and shirt, scruffy beard and hair, and he stopped me. And he started to tell me about Jesus. He kept pumping Jesus into me all the time, and he had this excitement and enthusiasm, and I was really uncomfortable. I was trying to get away. People are walking all around me from my own hometown, and he's talking really loud about Jesus, and I'm really feeling uncomfortable because, you know, my parents were a decent sort of people, and they encouraged me and they helped me and shaped me to grow up as a decent sort of guy. I had this distinction about me of being a decent guy. I measured myself by the standards of my parents. I didn't want him in my life telling me about Jesus. And things haven't changed much. They were the same back then, the same now. And 20 years later, I was a Christian. I was in the church then, serving in the church. And I was introduced to a lady who came along to the church. Got to know her and said, "Oh, can I come and visit you and your husband?" Which I did. He told me some amazing stories about his encounters with what he thought was an angel. And so I thought, oh, well, maybe he'd be interested in Jesus Christ. So I said, "Would you like to do Christian Explained?" And they both said yes. And Christian Explained is a series of six studies. And we went through the first three. Jesus, the Son of God, that's the deity of Christ. The second one, the cross of Christ, what it achieved for us. Jesus Christ died on the cross to appease the wrath of God, take away the sin of the world. Jesus rose again, victor over life, the one who can give eternal life, but also the risen one who will judge. And then we come to session four, which is grace. Grace, not works. And there's two sorts of envelopes. There's a big envelope with a cross on and another one with a tick on. And one's the right answer, one's the wrong answer. So I pulled out all the envelope out of the one that said the wrong answer. And I showed him the envelope about this size. And it had what I have done. And inside the envelope, you pull out a whole lot of little cards. And on those little cards are the things that people do. Like, give to charities, pray, help a friend, give back someone's mobile phone they might have dropped. And those other ones that says, I don't kill people, I haven't murdered, I haven't stolen, I haven't done any of these other bad things. And they were all, I added a few more out. In fact, his whole dining room table was a bit of a shock. I had all these cards about that wide, little cards, all lined up. And he looked at me, and I said, none of those things will get you to heaven. And he looked at me, his face was really startled. I'd never seen a face so shocked. And he said, well then, how do you get to heaven? The three previous studies mustn't have been enough, so I went through all those studies again. Told him what Jesus had done on the cross, what he achieved. Explained to him the concept of grace, not works. The week after, he said that they were going on holidays, and could they take a break? And immediately it stuck in my mind that this could go cold, this lead. He comes back from holidays, him and his wife, and I ring him up and say, would you like to catch up again? And he said, oh, not this week. I have other things on. And I made about 3 phone calls. And eventually I just stopped because I felt that the trail had gone cold. He'd reached the point where he realised that his decency, what he thought God had made him like, was not going to get him right with God at all. That man was still under what the Bible calls the wrath of God, still under the judgment of God. And God says in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 65 verse 2, all day long I have held out my hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations. Now, unless this man has been changed by the Spirit of God, he is still under God's wrath. Unless he has come to realization that he needs Jesus, he's still lost. He could even be dead by now. And if you're a person like that man I described, or if you're a person like I was when I was 18 walking the streets of my hometown, then you have some trouble in your life. And it's trouble from God. The God who has sent his son on the cross to die for the sin of people like you and me is also the righteous judge. You, me, others like me, we need to humbly come to Jesus. Be humble enough to accept him for who he is on his terms. And now here we have the tax collector. And where is he? He's standing at a distance. He wouldn't even look to heaven, which was what they used to do when they prayed in those days. He beat his breast, his chest, boom, boom, boom. Friends, the unbelievers of our neighbourhoods woke up this morning under the wrath of God like the tax collector. They went down to the shop and bought a bottle of milk, went to buy the paper. They're all sold out because picture of William and Kate are having a kiss. People, did you go down the shop, anybody, this morning and buy us some milk? Anybody here? Anybody buy a paper yesterday? Thank you. That's a realist. So I guess in your neighbourhood there's plenty of papers and there's plenty of milk. Some people have got up today, friends, and gone to South Bank on the train or the bus. Others have taken the car and driven up to Mapleton, Mullaney, Montville for the day. Have a cup of coffee, drink a tea, visit the kids and the grandkids. But all those people who don't believe in Jesus are under the wrath of God. God have mercy on me, a sinner. He cries out, this tax collector. He pleaded for God. He knew there was nothing in him that deserved anything from God except judgment. This prayer, he's saying, I'm guilty. I'm declaring myself guilty before you, God, because you have declared me guilty. And Jesus said, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. I tell you, Jesus said, that this man, rather than the other, this tax collector got humbled. Something got to him. He was humble enough to pray, and he was humble enough to believe. We cannot trust in our own righteousness, even if we think God has made us a righteous person. I'm not saying God, the righteousness we receive from Christ, but I'm saying some people work good things up in their life to be good people, and they think that's how God's made them to be, and they're trusting in that. But we only have to trust in Christ alone. Only looking to Christ alone, trusting in him alone, will we be declared righteous in God's sight. There was a friend of ours, and she still is a friend, from Maryborough. And when Jill and I were new Christians, it was 1989, so that's a long time ago. You can guess how old I am. And this lady came to church, and because we found churches a bit unfriendly, when I first time I went to church after my brother took me, I built up enough courage to go to church as an unbeliever, and I thought I was a freak. You probably say, maybe you still are. I went to that church, sat down, did all the stuff they do, went out the front, looked down at the people, and I stood on the front steps, and not one soul spoke to me. And I saw all these little people talking in different groups, and I said to myself, God, am I invisible or a Martian? And I said to myself, what I'm going to do, if I'm going to stay this way, one day I'm going to be friendly to people who come to church. So this lady came to church, and I leaned over the back at the end and said, g'day. And her name's Wendy, and Jill knows Wendy is very well. She decided to come to church, and then we left that church and went to another church, and then I started serving in that church. She came over as well with her kids, and a well-known preacher, an evangelist from Brisbane, came up to this church and he preached a gospel message. And Wendy from the back walked up the front. You know how they do those those altar calls? They call them altar calls, and people come up, and the preacher's normally saying, come on, don't be shy. Yeah, I saw that hand over here. Well, she came up, and a lady came up from the congregation, wrapped his arm around her, and what they normally do, and took her away into a back room, where, like that one over there with all the glass, and they prayed together. And she comes out, and the lady said, oh, Wendy gave her life to Jesus today. Time went on, and she joined the Bible study groups that the ladies went to. She came to church regularly with her kids. I used to go and visit them, talk to her husband. He wasn't a Christian, far from it. And Jill was leading the group on Romans, a study through Romans. And she came down to me one day, and when I was in the office downstairs, and she said, Peter, can you and Heather just stay behind and talk to Wendy? She's got all these questions, and I have to pick up Caroline. Is that right, Jill? Caroline was kindy? Oh, and Crash downstairs. Oh, okay. Yeah, Crash downstairs. Yeah, you heard that. Anyway, I sat with Wendy and Heather. Heather was a friend, a Christian, and Wendy was talking a mixture of religion, Christianity, Baha'i faith, sociology, philosophy, a few other ologies,
and it's all mixed together. And it was so confusing. And straight away, after about 20 minutes, something spoke to me and it came out of my mouth at the same time. It's like God said, she's not a Christian. So I said, Wendy, I don't think you're a Christian. Just like that. And she said, Peter, everyone thinks I'm a Christian, but I'm not. When I went up, when that guy preached, I went up there and I didn't really have a change at all. My husband even thinks I'm a Christian, but I'm not. She's honest, wasn't she? She, in a way, did all the trappings of a religious person, but she wasn't a Christian. So, because they were studying Romans, I took my Bible, which is the first one I had, not this one, and I opened it up and I read these words from Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart you believe and are justified, and with your mouth one confesses and is saved. Now turn it around. And I put it across the table to her. And I said, Wendy, I want you to read those words. And she said, do you want me to read them out loud? I said, read them out loud. And so she read those words from the NIV version, this is the ESV, the NIV, out loud. And I said, what are you going to do about it, Wendy? And Wendy said, I think I'll pray. And what she did was she summarized those words up into her own prayer and her own confession of faith to Jesus. What happened on that morning was a miracle. There was no one going there planning to witness to Wendy to see her converted. Heather and myself, and now Wendy, I told you later, witness the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's always in conversions. He might just use us and choose to use us, but the Holy Spirit come and he did the work in her heart and life. Of all the prayers I've heard people pray when it comes to knowing about Jesus, hers stands up there as one of the most sincere and genuine and memorable. She's still going on with the Lord all these years later, despite numerous setbacks and absolute tragedies that have struck some of her children. She's still remaining faithful to Jesus. Only God, Spirit within, can enable people to do that. So we come to where we started at the beginning. Two men praying, two prayers and two outcomes. One man went home feeling really good about himself, but still under the judgment of God. He opens his... I guess he had a door. I guess he lived in a house. This Pharisee. I'm home, darling. Everything went well today at the temple. Had this really good time with God. But you should have seen this disgusting tax collector. And the other man, the tax collector, he went home humbly, elated inside. And he opened the door. And he said, darling, today is the best day of my life. God has me. God has got me. God saved me. God's put me right with himself. The first thing that I did after I became a Christian, I was sitting down under my father-in-law's partly built house that I was building, eating my lunch, thinking about this lady who took us through Christian Explained. And I said, Jesus, I've got that much faith that you can have all of me. I felt the change of peace and of freedom come that I've been searching for all those years. The first thing I did when I got home, Jill, she's at the kitchen sink. She still is sometimes. Jill, today I become a Christian. Tax collector. He went home justified. And we who are now in the post-resurrection, post-ascension of Christ, we know that to be justified, it is through the blood of Jesus Christ. It is through the righteousness of Christ that we lay hold of through faith. Maybe you are a person who identifies with one of those people in the stories, or one of the people that I've shared today. Today is a good day to do something about it. To humble yourself before God, like Jesus is talking about here. And to be humble enough to ask him for his gift of righteousness. It'd be silly, wouldn't it, if we thought we could trust on our own righteousness, or even the righteousness we think that God's made us to be, like a good person, if you like, because we grew up in a nice country. One man thought he was in with God, but he was out. And one man knew he was out with God, but he ended up in. That's the good news for that tax collector. Good news that I've received. Good news that many of you received. But if you haven't, here's a story. It tells you what you need to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ, for what he has given to us. He has given us his life and his righteousness. As one of the hymns I just think about now, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Lord Jesus, we love you, we thank you, we worship you. We live to honour you and serve you. We recognise it's your grace and grace alone that brings people into the kingdom. We know that you use people, you use little leaflets, you use anything according to your sovereign will. And it's my prayer that you would save people this morning, that you would deepen our faith this morning, and that tonight you would do likewise. Thank you, Lord God, for hearing our prayers. In the name of Jesus we ask. Amen.